Hello and welcome to the March edition of the Clutch Football Talking Points podcast. This month's talking point is the upcoming England squad for Euro, well, what do I call it now? Euro 2021, Euro 2020 being played in 2021. But anyway, you know the one I mean. So we'll be having a look through the potential inclusions in the squad and discussing what our ideal lineup would be come the summer. I'm joined as ever by Fabio Duarte, and he'll be taking the lead on this one and talking us through the options. Fabio, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Excellent. So yeah, I'll just hand it straight over to you.
Great. We'll go position by position. So let's start with the goalkeepers, I guess. Probably the least debate in here, but I'll throw a first name into the hat, Jordan Pickford. What do you think of him?
Well, he's got to be on the plane, but only for want of particularly good alternatives. I don't rate him at all, and once we get through to some other options, we'll see that I don't want him starting. But yeah, I mean, presuming there'll be three goalkeepers on the plane, I think it's fairly uncontroversial that he's going to be one of them.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you. Pickford has to make the three, but for me, he shouldn't be a starter as well. He has picked up recently, making fewer mistakes, but yeah, I agree. Pickford on the plane, but not first choice. All right, the next name, Dean Henderson. What do you make of him?
Well, it's tricky to judge because obviously he's not played too much this season. Back at United, is essentially second choice. But aside from the first time he came in where he had a bit of a nightmare, the other times he's been called upon, he's looked solid again, more the kind of Henderson we saw at Sheffield United. So, yeah, it would be a rogue option to chuck him in there as the starter. But yeah, probably on the strength of last season, he can make a pretty strong case for being in the three.
Yeah, I think his chances of being a starter have probably gone down this season. He has to make the three for me. But yeah, again, he wouldn't be my starter. Which brings me on to Nick Pope.
Yeah.
Who for me is and should be England's number one. I don't know if Pickford will be in ahead of him. But yeah, Pope, I think, is the best goalkeeper from the three of them. He makes the fewest mistakes, he's the best shot stopper, and I think he inspires the most confidence in the back line.
Yeah, fully agree with you on that one. One thing with Pickford, he did pick up an injury against Burnley. I don't know how serious that was, but I suppose that could have some ramifications with an international break coming up soon, because if he's still out for that, then Pope will get the nod, and it's a big chance for him to impress if that happens. But yeah, I certainly hope he's the starter come the summer, because like you say, he's a great shot stopper, not very error prone. But there's also, I saw this a little while back now, but there was a kind of, it was this graph with shot stopping on one axis and then like average starting position, like away from the goal on the other. And Nick Pope was, surprisingly for me, he was right up there with the kind of elite team keepers, in the sense that he starts quite high up. He can play that sort of sweeper role. So I think he's the one who is the most sort of in place when it comes to like trying to play a more high level style of football.
Yeah, I think Nick Pope's probably hurt by the fact that he plays for Burnley. Mm. He's maybe got a stigma attached to him, but for me, he's a number one. I think we're pretty much agreed on the three that we would take and that Southgate's probably going to take, but I may as well mention one other. I think the next closest to getting into those three would probably be Aaron Ramsdale. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I suppose he would be the next closest, and he does at least have minutes on his side compared to Dean Henderson. If you're judging him just against when he played Liverpool, then he should definitely be on the plane. But that's just because fairly average keepers seem to like having great games against Liverpool. I don't particularly rate him. He's okay, but he's no more than okay. I think he's probably a high-level championship goalkeeper, being honest.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And I think his chances of making the three are pretty low, barring an injury. Okay, we'll move on to right-backs. Plenty of names here. We'll start with Alexander-Arnold.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, there are plenty of names. You can make an England 11 out of right-backs, and it's not bad. But yeah, I think the fact that you've started with Alexander-Arnold is the right place to start, because despite having a relatively tough season, he's by far and away the best, in my opinion, in terms of pure quality. And then he also offers set pieces, which is very important at international level. And equally, even with Liverpool struggling at the moment, his personal form has picked up in the last month or so. So for me, I think he's still the starter.
I don't know if he's necessarily the starter, but I can't see a way that he's not taken in the squad, despite a relatively poor season and all the options that there are. I think Alexander-Arnold has to be one of two or three names going at right back. I don't know if he's a starter. I think it depends on the formation England go with as well. If it's a back four or a back three, that'll affect it. But I don't think right back is a spot where anyone's got a nailed down starting role just yet.
You're probably right, but I do think it's one of them where if he doesn't start, he's still very young, of course, but certainly if he hasn't nailed down a place in the next couple of tournaments, it might be one of them where in years to come you look back on it and think, why on earth was Alexander-Arnold not playing? Because just in terms of the technical attributes, he is so good. Like, his passing range is a joke. I feel like whilst there are lots of good options at right back for England, he's one of those players I'm just not sure you can afford to leave out. But you're right, there are definitely other names in the discussion, and I'm sure you'll mention some.
Oh, and moving forwards, he could end up in midfield as well. A lot of people have mentioned this with England's massive pool of players at right back and relative lack of defensive-based centre mids. He could be one to move there eventually.
Yeah, him and Reece James double pivot in years to come.
that takes me nicely onto the next option. Reece James, what do you make of him?
I actually really like Reece James. He's potentially not kicked on as much as he might have done, it's particularly since Tuchel came in fair. I don't know. I mean, he's been in and out of the team a lot since then. But, I mean, you're probably a better place than me to say. But in terms of pure quality, I rate him a lot. His balls into the box are probably second only to Trent in the right-back position at the moment. And from certain positions, you could argue he's better. Like those kind of byline crosses is more Reece James's bread and butter. He'll get to the line and just hit it into a really dangerous area, whereas Trent will probably hit it from maybe 10 yards further back, finding the cross. So just different styles. But yeah, if you're looking for an offensively-minded fullback who can also hold his own defensively in a four, then I think Reece James is a good option. And I really think he should be on the plane.
Yeah, I agree with what you said about Tuchel. I think if Lampard was still in charge, Reece James's chances of starting would probably be better. Since Tuchel's taken over, there's a lot more competition. Hudson-Odoi's been starting the right wing back a lot. So James is getting less minutes. But having said that, he's another one. I can't see how he wouldn't get on the plane. I think Alexander-Arnold and Reece James have to go. Who starts? I don't know. I would start Reece James. Shock. but yeah, those two, I think, have to go, which makes it difficult for all the other names. Next one I'll bring up is Kyle Walker. What do you think?
I think he'll go because Southgate's played him at centre-back before, and so he can sort of justify him in that kind of hybrid position as, at the very least, covering for both positions. Whether he actually gets into the starting 11, I think possibly not. He hasn't... I mean, obviously City have had a great season and Walker is playing still more often than not, but he's not as nailed down as he once was in that City team. He's made some high-profile errors. And yeah, I don't think it's not like where before you would just kind of have to pick him because there's so many other options now. So yeah, I think he'll probably just about make it to the plane, even though three right-backs is quite a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, the fact that he can play centre-back probably works in his favour.
I think this might be his last tournament, but I agree with you. I think the fact that he can play centre-back is going to be a saving grace, because if he was just a right-back with no experience anywhere else, he wouldn't be going. But the fact that he offers that third spot at centre-back if England do play three at the back means he'll probably sneak in. So with those three probably in the squad for us, that means any other right-backs probably aren't going to make it. I've got two more names written down. We'll go through them quickly. Next is Wan-Bissaka, who obviously hasn't been capped yet. Do you think he's got any chance at all?
Well, there's been some reports, haven't there, that he's kind of thinking of declaring for DR Congo, which would obviously put the nail in the coffin of his chances. But Yeah, I would respect that a lot. Obviously, it all depends on how you feel as a player, who you want to represent. I don't think it would be just like a cop out thinking he's got no chance for England, because he does have a chance for England. He's very good defensively. He used to be a winger, so it's not like he's completely incompetent going forward. United have had a good season. So, yeah, I mean, I think if he did come out and say, I definitely want to declare for England, then he'd have to at least be in Southgate's thoughts. But no, I mean, given the names we've run through now, it's hard to see him getting in. You can't take four right backs. So yeah, probably not.
Yeah, it is a shame for him, because he hasn't played in any other position either, so he doesn't offer that cover. He is a very good player, and maybe 10 years ago he would have been in the England squad, but
I don't think so, mate. It would have been about six.
Right now, there's just far too many options, and I reckon he should go for DR Congo. The last right back that I think is worth mentioning is Kieran Trippier.
Yeah.
Where would you place him?
Yeah, it's really easy to forget Kieran Trippier, which is unfair, just because England football fans are always going to be Anglo-centric in terms of the football they watch. I can't pretend I've watched a ton of Atletico Madrid this season. Obviously, I've seen bits and pieces here and there, particularly in Europe. And Atletico are having a very good season, which actually dropped off when Trippier got his suspension. By all accounts, it sounds like he's been quite good for them and was a key part of particularly the early title charge. So, yeah, I mean, it's very harsh if he is out of contention, and you'd have to hope that Southgate is keeping more of an eye on him than the average England fan. So, yeah, I mean, that third spot is kind of a toss-up between him and Walker, really. So, like you mentioned earlier, it does just come back to that centre-half experience, which, again, is not something Trippier has had, as far as I'm aware. So, yeah, it's tough for him, but particularly with Southgate liking the back five, I know Trippier's been playing wing back, so I think he has an outside shot, but probably if I had to say now, no, he won't make it.
Yeah, I agree with pretty much everything you said there. I would put Trippier ahead of Wan-Bissaka. Obviously, he's been involved with England before, and he was right wing back at the last World Cup, but what puts him down is the fact that Alexander-Arnold and Reece James can both play wing back, and Trippier, as far as I'm aware, has never played centre-back, which Walker can cover. So he'll be the first name in if there's a right-back injury, but I don't think he's going to make it.
Yeah. I suppose if Reece James keeps being out of the team, it could be a case of maybe Trippier just nicking that spot off him at the last minute.
Yeah, that definitely could happen. Before, Reece James was competing with Aspilicueta and playing more often than not. Now he's got more competition with Hudson-Odoi. So, yeah, if it carries on the way it is, it might be a bit closer come the end of the season. Right, moving on to centre-back, let's start with Harry Maguire.
Yeah, there aren't very many good centre-back options, to be honest. We've already got Walker down as a kind of semi-centre-back option, but yeah, the first out-and-out centre-back, Harry Maguire, he has to be on the plane, and he probably has to play, particularly if it's a back three. He's pretty much nailed on. He's quite good. He's not the most mobile, but particularly in a back three with two others to cover him with a bit more pace, it's not a huge problem. And in terms of pure defensive attributes, yeah, he's very good. There's a reason United signed him, and he's contributed to their success this season. So, yeah, it's not the most inspiring, but he's got to be on the plane.
Yeah, I don't think you can argue that he's going to miss out, and he will be a starter as well. Not much else to say, really. Maguire's a definite. Next up is someone who definitely wouldn't have been going if it were last year, but it's probably a starter now, John Stones.
Yeah, and I'm really pleased for John Stones, much as I don't love seeing City do well. It's weird, because obviously he's Everton and City, so by all accounts I shouldn't like him, but he's a really, really tidy player. I enjoy watching John Stones play, and I'm glad he's turned it around, because it was harsh that he got a bit frozen out at City for a long time. He's done really well to make himself a regular starter again. He's really tidy on the ball. That's exactly how Southgate likes the team to play, building out from the back. And yeah, he's not a liability defensively by any stretch of the imagination, even though he kind of got that reputation for a little while.
Yeah, he has to start for me. I think he's a good person to pair with Maguire. He's a lot more mobile than him. He's faster than him. He's got a lot of experience playing on the ball with Man City in a way that maybe other England centre-backs, who we'll mention in a bit, don't. So, yeah, he's a great option to have for England. The next one, you'll know more about this than me, Joe Gomez. Does he have any chance for recovering from injury?
Well, that's what it comes down to. It's one of them where if he's ready, he has to come. But I don't think he'll make it. It seems a big stretch. It's hard because the club is kind of keeping it a bit under wraps. Same with Van Dijk. No one really knows exactly when they'll be back. But, I mean, even compared to Van Dijk, we've seen more updates on his recovery than Gomez, which, I mean, I don't know how much you can read into it, but I'd suggest it means Gomez is further away from a return. It would have to be really pushing him back for the Euros, which obviously from a selfish Liverpool fan perspective, I hope doesn't happen because he's still so young. It's one tournament. And if you could risk doing yourself more damage, then it's just not worth it. So, yeah, I think sadly for him, it's probably best that he misses out on this one.
Yeah, with long-term injuries, you need time as well to get back to full fitness. And time is not on his side. I think Southgate won't risk him. Next up, Tyrone Mings. What do you make of him?
I'm not quite on his sort of hype wagon as much as some people are. I quite like him. I don't think I'd start him. But like I said before, I'm not inspired by too many options at centre back for England. And Villa have had a good season, which he's played a part in. So yeah, I mean he's quite solid. He's not completely incompetent when it comes to ball playing either. I mean, he's not John Stones level, but he knows how to string passes together, and he maybe has some more of those kind of long range passes in his repertoire as well. So he's one of them where I wouldn't mind him coming on at all off the bench, say if it was late on holding a lead or if someone picked up a knock. So yeah, I wouldn't be disappointed to see him make the squad, but he's not one of my first names on or anything.
Yeah, I think he's a useful person to have around. Obviously, Aston Villa's great season is going to do him no harm. He wouldn't be starting, I don't think, even in a back three. I think Walker would take that third centre-back spot. So, yeah, useful option, but not the most inspiring. Next, Connor Cody. What do you think of him?
Yeah, to be honest, Connor Cody is the reason why I would probably just about leave Mings at home if I had to call it, just because obviously with Walker already there as a semi-centre-back option, you can get away with just taking Walker, Stones, Maguire and one more. And for me, that one more is Connor Cody. Obviously, Wolves have had a trickier season than Villa this year, but he individually has looked still fairly strong. It's not like Wolves have been conceding tons of goals every game. He's not going to be a starter, so you just need someone who you can count on, who can come in when required and sort of body on the line centre-back, and that sums up Connor Cody. And equally as well, I know I mentioned the long-range passing with Mings, but it applies to an even stronger extent with Cody. He's got a great ping in the locker, and with pace up top for England, well, not at striker, but on the wings. Someone who can play those kind of raking balls in behind can be a big asset. So, yeah, I think I'd take Cody.
Yeah, it's hard to split the two. I don't know who I would take personally, but I agree with you about Cody's ball playing and his range of passing is better than Mings. Him and Stones in a back three, if Walker wasn't playing, would give you a lot of long balls out wide, so he would be useful. That leaves two more names I've got on here, which probably aren't going to make it, so we'll go through them quickly. Michael Keane, what do you think?
Yeah, it's tough on him because obviously Everton have had a good season. Well, it's been quite a strange season, but a good season by Everton standards. He's not bad, but I don't think I could go any stronger than that. So it's just much as I don't hugely rate the strength in depth of the England centre-backs, there are a lot of at least plausible options, and he is one of them. But I think the mobility is an issue, because Maguire can sort of get away with it because he's more elite, technically speaking, in the kind of defensive part of the game, whereas Keane is just solid, as well as not having that turn of pace. So, yeah, I think he'd be a bit too much of a passenger, even though he is a good player in his own right.
Yeah, I think he might make an injury shortlist. He's been involved in England squads before. I think he made a high-profile error not too long ago when he was involved in an England squad. But I think the names we mentioned are ahead of him. Lastly, Rob Holding. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably suffered from Arsenal not having the best of seasons. He's done quite well for himself to become pretty regular in what is normally a good team. So, you know, for a while he was out on loans. It didn't look like he would make it at all. So fair play to him in that respect. But no, I don't think he's shown enough to dislodge some of the bigger names.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. He was one of Arsenal's best players in quite a poor season. But even now, he's not necessarily a starter. So I think any chance he had is fading quickly now.
Yeah.
We'll move on to left back. Not as competitive as right back. Ben Chilwell, what do you think?
Yeah, he pretty much has to be Ben Chilwell. Well, I suppose we'll come on to Shaw, who has a punt. But yeah, Chilwell has to make the squad. It's him and Shaw are the only plausible options, really. And yeah, Chilwell playing a bit more under Tuchel now than he was when the German first came in. It looked for a while like Alonso was just going to steal the spot back. But Chilwell's played a bit more recently. He's looked pretty good. I think possibly... Well, to be honest, I thought when he signed for Chelsea that he'd been sort of, they'd paid too much for him, but he did impress, particularly under Lampard, and as I say, sort of coming back around to that again now. So yeah, he's probably gone up in my estimations, if anything, this season, and he was already looking likely for the left-back spot. So yeah, for me, he's the starter.
Yeah, I think he was nailed to the left-back spot heading into last summer, and I think that's got stronger this year. He's had a very good season with us. I've been impressed. Yeah, he's in and out of the squad right now. But I think that just because of a lack of options, Chilwell's place is pretty secure. You mentioned Luke Shaw. What do you think of him?
Yeah, he's another one who you'd have to just applaud on a personal level because he took a lot of flack, even from United fans, for a long time. And now he's having a really good individual season. I think he's got the fans back on side. Even physically, he looks in better shape. So clearly he's been putting some work in. And yeah, he's been a big part of United's success. He's looked dangerous, provided some assists. It's not like I watch United all the time, but as far as I'm aware, he hasn't been too poor defensively. I haven't seen any high-profile errors in that respect. So yeah, he's not done his chances any harm at all this season. He's sort of come from nowhere to be a genuine competitor. But I think I'd probably still lean towards Chilwell. But I would take both.
Yeah, I've been very impressed by Luke Shaw. I think this is his best season at United. He's come on a lot. I have to admit, I thought that he would never really get back into England reckoning. But I think him and Chilwell are the standout options. I will throw in another name, though. Bukayo Saka, he's played left-back for England before. He's a very useful squad option in that he can play in multiple positions, left-wing, right-wing, even in a midfield three. Would you take him?
No, he's a victim of Shaw's improvement for me. If Shaw was still kind of on the periphery, then I think Saka would be straight in as the second option, particularly, as you say, with the versatility to play elsewhere. That's always useful in tournament football. But to be honest, if he's not in the top two options for left-back, then there's nowhere where he's likely to get any minutes in the tournament. So you just can't take him, really. Even though he can be a difference maker, I think he just misses out.
I'd be desperate to take him as a utility player for this squad, partly because of his age and his potential, and just because he can provide cover in so many areas. He's had a great season with Arsenal, their best player. So I'd try and find a way to include him.
Yeah, well, I'd like to, but it's, yeah. I mean, you get 23 slots. I'm just trying to be realistic. But yeah, no disrespect to Saka. He's had a great season. And like you say, if there is a way to work him in, I'd definitely be behind it. But
it is very difficult given Shaw's improvement. If he'd stayed the same as he was before, I think Saka would be nailed on in this squad as that backup left back and then all the other positions. So yeah, we'll see what Southgate does. I think he will include him.
Do you think you would take him ahead of Shaw, even?
I reckon I probably would. Not necessarily a slight on Shaw, but more that Chilwell has got left back locked up, I think. Saka's not starting at left back ahead of him. So Saka would just be far more useful to the squad than Shaw.
Fair enough. Yeah, that does make sense.
We'll move on to centre mid. So I've got in brackets defensive / withdrawn. So we'll start with Henderson.
Yeah, he's got to go and probably start. With the slight caveat that we'll see how he recovers from this injury, but he should be back well in time. He's a class act. I mean, there's obviously a little bit of Liverpool bias, but I think he's technically very strong. He's got the determination as well. You know, he's gonna leave it all out there, which is particularly in the slightly less tactical field of international football is an asset which you can't entirely overlook. So I mean, he tried to run off basically a groin strain the other day, which was stupid, but like shows the kind of player he is. I think he definitely comes and probably starts.
Yeah, I think you have to take Henderson for his personality alone. He's obviously a good footballer, and I think he would start. But Henderson is a perfect person to take in a squad. He's a real leader, which I don't think England have too many of. It's quite a young squad. So Henderson has to go. Next up, Declan Rice. What do you think?
Yep, another one who's grown on me a lot over the course of this season, partly because my flatmate Fred, who we've had on before, has a kind of on-running Rice agenda, but it's been rubbing off on me. But whenever I've watched him, he's looked impressive. He does have a bit of a tendency to try and just kind of do a bit of a Gerrard, if you like, and just randomly win games on his own by taking the wrong option when maybe a pass would be on or something. Or he'll go for the glory ball when there's a simpler one on. But yeah, by and large, really impressive. He gets teams forward from back to front really well, powerful runs, has a lot of passes in his locker, even if they don't always come off. He doesn't offer too much offensively yet, but that's definitely a part of his game that's growing. So yeah, for me, I really like him. I think he's got a decent chance of even starting, and he should certainly be on the plane.
Yeah, this is an England squad lacking in sort of defensive midfield, so I think Rice is definitely a shoo-in. If Henderson doesn't start for whatever reason, Rice has to, maybe even alongside him, we'll see. But yeah, Rice is definitely going for me. Next one I'm not so sure about, Eric Dier.
No.
What do you think?
No, we're out of space. It's hard because, again, I don't hate him as a player, but we have to be realistic. We're running out of slots in the team and we haven't got any attacking options in yet. So, I'm afraid he misses out just because of the, particularly with Walker already fulfilling that role as auxiliary centre-back cover. We don't really need a Dier who can do that as well. So yeah, with Rice and Henderson ahead of him at CDM, we have to leave Dier out for me.
Yeah, it's difficult because Southgate does seem to really like Dier. He's been involved in a lot more England squads than I'd have him involved in. He started pretty well this season playing at centre-back for Tottenham, but he's recently lost his place. And for England, he's pretty much only played as a centre-mid. So I would also leave him at home. And I think Southgate might too. I've got a few more names for sort of defensive or withdrawn centre mids. Phillips, what do you think?
It's like you said before, in another era, probably he would be in contention. But with the emergence of Rice and, of course, his switch from the Republic of Ireland, I think that's probably put the nail in the coffin for Phillips for this tournament. He's still very young. He could develop more than Rice over the coming years and be involved in future tournaments. But no, I don't think he makes it. He did get capped earlier in the season, didn't he? And looked okay, but not spectacular. I don't think he's done enough to dislodge any of the bigger names.
Yeah, I think sadly for him, Henderson and Rice look like the two most defensive mids that England will go with. If there's a third spot, I think he's got every chance of getting it. But I'm not so sure. And I'll just quickly mention the last three centre-mid spots I've got before we move on to the attacking ones. Harry Winks, James Ward-Prowse, and Jude Bellingham. Do you think any of them have any sort of chance?
It's tough. I think out of the three, I think James Ward-Prowse probably has the best chance, strangely enough, just because he's such a set-piece specialist, and it's hard to overstate how important that is in tournament football. There aren't too many goals, and a lot of it can come down to corners and free kicks. And he's the most consistent I've ever seen, probably, at delivering them. So I really want to find a way to shoehorn him in just for that. But the trouble is, you can't sub people on just for set pieces and then sub them off again. So he has to at least be able to hold his own as a regular in the team if you're including him for set pieces. And it's hard to make a case for him in the starting 11. So I think probably he stays at home. Bellingham, probably come too early for him, even with the year's delay for the tournament. But yeah, he's playing a decent amount for Dortmund, which is impressive at such a young age. So no, I don't think he makes it. But yeah, worth mentioning him. And who was the third one, sorry?
Harry Winks.
Harry Winks, yeah. There's just nothing you can point to and say, yeah, that's what Harry Winks does really well. I think he's just solid, and it's not enough with the competition.
Yeah, I agree with your assessment there. James Ward-Prowse has been involved in quite a few England squads recently as well, so I think that'll help. Also, he was heavily involved in the under-21s while Southgate was there, so he obviously likes him.
Yeah, he captained the under-21s for quite a while, I think.
Yeah, it's difficult to find a place for him. And even though he plays deep, he's quite attack-minded, and this is a squad very imbalanced in just how much attacking options there are, which we'll move on to now, I guess. So I've got centre mid brackets attacking. Some of these players can play starting out wide, but it's quite a long list, and one of them is probably going to miss out from the four big names. We'll start off with Mason Mount. What do you think about him?
Yeah, it's a nightmare position, because it's not even really a position that exists in Southgate's go-to formation, and yet that's where England seem to be strongest at the moment. You have to look at Southgate and think maybe it's time to change the formation to fit some of these names in, because, you know, I'm just assuming we're playing 5-2-3, because that's basically what Southgate's been doing the whole time. And that leads to a case of, well, you can't have two attacking mids as the two. That's just crazy. So really, in terms of the starting, you're probably looking at one of your lists going in here. But yeah, Mason Mount definitely has to be on the plane, partly because he's had a really good season, probably been Chelsea's best player, and partly because he has that versatility to cover the wings as well.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on Mount. Chelsea's best player this season. Don't think he was getting the credit he deserved. I think that's shifting a bit now. People are starting to appreciate him a bit more. And he does offer versatility, that he can play more advanced from a wing position, and he can also play a bit deeper. He's an important part of Chelsea's press as well, and I think he offers a bit more defensively than probably any other name that I'm about to mention from the attacking centre mids. The next one is Jack Grealish. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you have to find a way to get him in. I mean, I have a shrewd idea of who else you're going to mention on this list, and I think Grealish has been the standout above all of them. He's taken a team who should have been relegation candidates and made them Champions League candidates, so that says pretty much all you need to know. He can make something happen, and that's always important in any version of the game, but particularly in international football, where maybe the individual comes to the fore a little bit more. So yeah, someone of his individual quality, it's you can't leave it at home. It's like I was saying with Trent, you just have to find a way to get them playing.
Yeah, I think we both rate Grealish really highly. He's got to go for me, and I would desperately try and find a way to get him in the starting 11. I think he is the sort of player who can change a game on his own. There's a lot of talented names on this list, but Grealish has to get regular minutes for England. I don't know how Southgate's going to do that with all the players he's got, but he's got to find a way to get him in particular.
Yeah, it's tricky. I think, yeah, because, I mean, you can't really play him in that two. I can't see it. So I think if it is still that shape, it might be a case of him playing as a kind of inverted winger type situation, which I don't love, but I think that might be one thing we might see.
What about in a midfield three, say someone like Henderson or Rice as the defensive player, and then Mount and Grealish? Do you think that's too attacking?
Well, I'd like it, but it pretty much necessitates a switch to a back four, which Southgate hasn't looked hugely thrilled about doing. And I, to be honest, I know he's taken a lot of stick for the back five, but I do think it's quite a good tournament formation in the sense that it keeps you very defensively solid and games do tend to be lower scoring. So I can see why he's persisted with it, but it does make it harder to fit in enough of these attack-minded players. But yeah, that's certainly one way he could do it.
Yeah, if he doesn't go for that, I would stick Grealish coming in off a wing ahead of some of the wing options, who are also very good. But we'll move on to them in a bit. Next up, Foden. What would you do with him?
It's so harsh, but I would leave him out just. I rate him a lot, and he's just a victim of the strength in that position, and equally, the like we're saying with the formation, if Southgate is still planning 5-2-3, it's such a limited spot to be fighting for. And yeah, I think probably he's going to have to just miss out. Well, I say I think he'll have to. I think probably Southgate finds a way to take him. But for me, I think he would be sort of the first name on the reserve list.
Personally, I would take him. Much like Saka, I really want to find a place with these two in particular, just because of how young they are and how much potential I think they've got. I can't see him starting just because of the amount of competition he's got. It is difficult because the squad can easily become imbalanced with too many attacking players, but I would have him in ahead of the next person I'm going to mention. Ideally, I'd want the four of them, but I'm not sure if it's going to happen unless he maybe cuts a striker spot, has two strikers, and then someone else who can play up front.
That's true.
The next name is James Maddison.
Yeah, I mean, I had him in mind when I was saying Foden just misses out, because I think I would lean towards Maddison. It's tricky because you make the age point in favour of Foden, but then I suppose on the flip side of that, Foden has more time to get involved in future squads, and so I suppose you could argue it's better off looking at someone who's closer to their prime levels. And Maddison obviously is still young, but falls closer to that category. It's really difficult because I don't think either of them start. So it's just a case of, well, who's more of a difference maker? And I suppose off the bench, maybe Foden edges it. But I think at the moment, Maddison is the slightly better player. And so just purely going off that, I would give that slot to him.
You also mentioned how James Ward-Prowse is so good at set pieces. That's something that Maddison brings as well. He's very good at free kicks.
That's true. Yeah.
I'll reel off the next three names quickly because I think we'll be agreed that they just can't make the squad given the others that we've mentioned. But I've got down Barkley, Lingard and Smith Rowe.
Yeah, Smith Rowe's got no chance at all. He did look good for a brief period, well, a fairly sustained period. He was impressive, but Odegaard's come in. Smith Rowe's game time has suffered. Arsenal have also not been as good in the last few weeks. So yeah, no chance for him. Lingard has done really well to get himself in the conversation at all. It's been a remarkable renaissance. I didn't think West Ham had any clue what they were doing when they brought him in. I thought, well, he's not even going to play. West Ham are doing really well. How's he going to disrupt this team? But then he's come in and actually won them games on his own. So fair play to him. But no, he can't make it. There's just no room. And I've done the same thing as earlier and forgotten the third name.
Barkley.
Barkley, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like Lingard. He's done well to get himself back in the conversation with a very good loan spell. But no, I mean, if we're talking about potentially leaving Foden behind, there's no way Barkley can make it.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment. Lingard went in 2018. He barely played. He played against Panama, I think it was. And that's when he had far less competition. So he's reached those same levels, if not improved on them. But the competition is just too much. There's no room for someone like Lingard. Barkley, although he's had a good season at Villa, I have to agree. I think there's just too much competition, and Smith Rowe would be bottom of that list for me. I think it's too soon for him, maybe in the future. Right, we'll move on to wingers and start with Jadon Sancho.
Yeah, you've got to bring him, really. Started the season quite poorly for Dortmund in terms of output, but that's picked up again. And yeah, I mean, he's the closest thing to a sort of bona fide generational talent in the England team at the moment. So yeah, like I've said with a couple of players, it's one of them where I think if you weren't to bring him and probably start him, you would look back on it in the future and think, what were we doing? So yeah, I think he's got to play.
Yeah, I think he's certainly got to play. Whether he starts, I don't know. If Southgate can't find a place for Grealish, that's where I would put him ahead of Sancho. But it's difficult. If you want an out-and-out winger, he is the starting right winger for me. Do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, it's tricky because, like I said, that's where you'd move Grealish if you can't fit him into the two and a 5-2-3. But then suddenly he's found himself up against Sancho, which is not an enviable position to be in. I'd probably give Sancho the nod, but that's partly because I prefer out-and-out wingers. And I suppose arguably you could say that's slightly less important if you've got someone like a Trent Alexander-Arnold bombing up from right wing back to support it. Maybe you can have your wingers coming in a bit more. So that really is a toss-up, but I'd be really eager to start Sancho if at all possible.
Yeah, I mean, they're very different players. This one depends entirely on the tactics, the formation, all of that.
Yeah.
But Sancho's got to go. Next up, I've got Rashford on here. What do you think about Rashford?
I mean, surely he's got to go. He's very good as a winger. He's usable as a striker, so he can cover across the front three. He's not quite what he was in terms of, you know, the great hope for England that he was sort of billed as for a while, but he's not had a bad season. I think he's still really dangerous. I'd be eager to take him if there's room.
Yeah, I really rate Rashford, and it's a shame that I don't think he's going to start. The fact that he can play up front is a big bonus, which I'll come to in a bit. Take him, but I think Sancho and the next name will probably be the two starting out wide. Raheem Sterling, obviously he's got to go, but what do you make of him?
Yeah, he's actually not had a very good season in terms of output, which is surprising because City is still scoring quite freely. It's just he's not really been getting in those positions as much, but it's partly tactical. Guardiola's reverted a bit to kind of, well, not necessarily hug the paint wingers, but the team's staying wider, and it's more those kind of midfielders and false nines who are popping up with the goals. So I think it's partly just a quirk of Guardiola's tactics this season. I still rate him a lot. His finishing's never been amazing, though. There's no hiding it, but it's perfectly usable. And what he brings in terms of creativity and assist threat from wide is certainly enough to get him probably into the starting 11.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about him going or starting, really, even with his output a bit reduced. Yeah, he's just got to go, really.
I think there is a question about him starting. I don't think we can say he's nailed on, particularly as Grealish has played left wing quite a bit. I mean, that could easily be a slot where Grealish gets the nod if we're trying to work him in, not in the middle. I think that's possibly one of the most plausible routes of doing that.
I suppose that's one where it depends what sort of tactics are being used, who you're up against, what sort of players you want. But for me, I'd have Sterling starting most games. Moving on, the options are a bit less inspiring. I think Greenwood may have gone last year, but I wouldn't have him down to go this time around. What do you think?
No. I hadn't even thought of him, to be honest. He probably deserves to be in the conversation, but I don't think he has a reasonable chance just because of the competition.
Yeah, he was starting so often when Manchester United were in really good form after the restart. But this season he hasn't kicked on in the way people had hoped. He hasn't played enough. So I don't think he's got a chance, really.
Yeah, especially if you're bringing Rashford, who kind of fulfills that same kind of hybrid striker-winger cover.
Yeah. The next one, I also think pretty much got no chance, which is a shame. This is partly because of his injury recently. Barnes. So he's out for, I think it's 8 weeks. The injury's come at a bad time because he's had a very good season. What do you think?
Yeah, that's probably done it for him. If he comes back in time and plays a few more games towards the end of the season and is right back to those levels, he may be a late contender to nick a spot because he can also play in that kind of advanced midfield position. So there is a bit of versatility there. But yeah, I think you're probably right. If I had to call it now, I'd say he just misses out.
Yeah, it's a shame because if you were going for four out-and-out wingers, he would have been my fourth choice. But there you go. And the last name I've got down is Hudson-Odoi. What would you make of his chances?
To be honest, they're probably not hurt by his stints at wing-back recently. It gives him some more versatility. But given that right-back is already England's most stacked area, it's probably still a case of he'd be third choice or worse in both positions. So you probably have to say no.
Yeah, versatility is a big factor when it comes to especially players who aren't starters. But in this case, his versatility doesn't come in the areas he needs. He has been playing really well since Tuchel took over at Chelsea, but I think Hudson-Odoi is just a bit of a spare part in this England squad.
Yeah, I mean, still early days. I mean, in future years could definitely be a big part. Still young, could develop, and he's come back strongly from a serious injury. But yeah, this time around, not for me.
Yeah. And we'll move on to strikers. Harry Kane. What do you make of his chances?
Nah, leave him at home. Leave him at home. Yeah, of course, he has to go, and reluctantly he has to start as well. I say reluctantly, obviously he's a class act. There's no denying it at this point. He's been so good for so long. But you could make the case that he's a bit of a strange fit tactically, just with, because everyone else around him is so kind of mobile and interchangeable, whereas he's more of a sort of fixed focal point. He does drop back a lot more this season. He has evolved. But yeah, these conversations are so academic because he's just definitely starting. He's too good not to start.
Yeah, it's a strange one with Kane because he will start no matter what formation, what tactics, he will be shoehorned in. But if you were sort of building your perfect striker to go with the rest of the players you have, you probably wouldn't come up with someone like Kane. But as I say, that doesn't matter. He will start regardless, and he is a world-class striker anyway, so...
Yeah. He'll start regardless and he'll probably score regardless. I mean, even if you look at the last tournament, I mean, he didn't even have that brilliant a tournament, but he got the Golden Boot. Like, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, he scored, what, 6 goals? 3 penalties, I think 2 were from corners, and that one...
And one hit his heel.
Yeah. But yeah, so Kane starts for sure. And then it's a matter of if you take 2 strikers or 3 out-and-out strikers, but there will definitely be a second. My choice for backup would be Calvert-Lewin. Do you agree?
No, I don't. it has to be Danny Ings. Danny Ings is much better. He's also more different. Calvert-Lewin is just Kane if Kane wasn't very good. that's probably too harsh, but... He's very much a sort of Kane light, whereas Ings offers something a bit different and is better for me. And the big downside of Ings is his injury proneness, but over the course of a 2-week tournament, you can probably get away with keeping him fit, especially when he's not going to be starting. So yeah, get Ings on the plane.
I'll admit, I thought Calvert-Lewin was never going to be more than sort of a mid-table Premier League striker. But I've been so impressed with him this season. I think he offers a lot. And the fact that I'd have him in ahead of Abraham when I'm a Chelsea fan, I think that says a lot too. I would definitely want Calvert-Lewin going.
But you have to look at it as well. He scored about 10 league goals by sort of early November, and now he scored 14. So he's gone majorly off the boil. I know he's had injuries, but he hasn't hit the ground running on his return. I don't know. I mean, I suppose you could say the same about Ings. His output has suffered more recently as well, but
that was a point I was about to make. Yeah, you can criticise Calvert-Lewin for going off for Boyle, but when I look at the list of other possible strikers I've got, all of them have had consistency issues this season.
That's true. That was probably unfair, but
I think Danny Ings, if it were at the end of, we keep coming back to this, but if it were the end of last season when the Euros were supposed to be, Danny Ings would have definitely been going, and I wouldn't have had any problem with that. But I think after this season, Calvert-Lewin's ahead of him for me.
I just don't think that's fair, because like you say, at the end of last season, Danny Ings would have been not a certainty, but pretty close to a certainty. And he's followed up that really good season with another strong season. Obviously not as good, but still very good despite being hampered by injuries. Whereas all Calvert-Lewin has had is this one good season. And even then, he's only just outscored Ings. Like, certainly in terms of minutes per goal, it's close. So I think you can't just disregard the previous season. I think you have to give Ings the benefit of the doubt and bring him in on the strength of the last two seasons combined.
I think another thing that maybe pushes it in Calvert-Lewin's favour is his age. He is 4 or 5 years younger than Danny Ings. Ings hasn't really been involved with England before, so I think that probably elevates him in Southgate's thinking. Maybe they might be involved in future squads.
Yeah, that's probably true. Succession planning for Kane sort of thing. But I think you've got to just bring the players to give you the best chance of winning the games. And I think Ings has more of a chance of winning you a game than Calvert-Lewin does. But yeah, it's a personal thing. They're both good options as backup. I think only one of them makes it. And yeah, I mean, clearly we disagree on who should get the nod.
Yeah, I definitely agree that only one of them makes it, which brings me on to Tammy Abraham.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. He's one of them where it's just hard to get excited about him, even though he's just consistently quite good, always has decent output. There was a time where he was really sort of getting Chelsea results on his own, looked very good under Lampard at times, but particularly with him dropping down the pecking order under Tuchel, it looks a long shot. It really does.
Yeah, it's a sad one. Usually you would take three out-and-out strikers, but I think with Rashford being able to play up front, I would just take it to two and maybe bring someone like Maddison in.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, I think he brings more to the squad than someone like Abraham, which is sad as a Chelsea fan. But Abraham's a fairly limited striker at the moment that doesn't give much for Kane. Obviously Kane starts, and Calvert-Lewin can't, so I wouldn't bring him.
Yeah, and that's the thing as well. Like, if you're bringing a Grealish and a Maddison, like if it came to it and there was either an injury crisis or just Southgate wanted to try something really bold, either of them could play false nine very plausibly. So it's not like you're fully sacrificing someone who can play striker. You're just giving yourself a more kind of creative option. So yeah, I think it's not going to happen for Abraham. But like you say, it's a bit of a shame because he's done well for himself.
Yeah, I think restructuring the squads to pick someone who just provides more options is the right thing to do, which is sad for the next few names as well, because they've all had pretty good seasons. I'll reel them off quickly. It's Patrick Bamford, Ollie Watkins and Callum Wilson. What do you think of their chances?
Not good. Patrick Bamford, probably the best of the three in terms of having a chance of making it. Callum Wilson is such a hot and cold player. I don't think... He maybe had a sniff before the injury, but that's probably put paid to that. Ollie Watkins, well, he just keeps on missing good chances, which isn't helping his case. He's been very unlucky. He's hit the woodwork on occasion, come close, and he is still providing assists even when he's not scoring. But yeah, definitely a victim of the competition. And then Patrick Bamford probably is slightly ahead of Tammy Abraham in the pecking order now, in my opinion, just because he's the go-to starter for Leeds and has been scoring really well this season. If we're taking one of them, I'd probably give the nod to Bamford. But no, I don't think either of them go.
Yeah, again, I have to agree with your assessment. I think Wilson's an issue because he's had injury problems in the past, so that doesn't help for a tournament. Also his age, I think he's 29 if I'm not mistaken, so he's not going to be involved in the future, and I don't think he would make it. Also that current injury. Ollie Watkins, I really like Watkins, but I don't think he's a natural finisher. Not yet, anyway. He's not as young as some people might think. I think he's 24. But I like his all-round play. And I agree with you that Bamford is ahead of those two and possibly ahead of Abraham in Southgate's thinking. He's got an outside chance. It just depends what sort of squad he goes with. Ings may well be injured at the time, which could make it a straight shootout between Bamford and Abraham if he goes with three out-and-out strikers.
Yeah, I suppose if Ings is injured, then Bamford versus Calvert-Lewin could be an interesting one. But you'd imagine Calvert-Lewin probably edges it.
Yeah, so we agree mostly. I think our biggest point of contention was Calvert-Lewin against Ings.
Yeah.
I suppose we should finish off with, how do you think England will do?
Oh, well, who knows? They have as good a chance on paper as I've remembered them having going into a major tournament, probably. It's quite a good squad. It's quite a young squad. They have the kind of stamina to deal with the strains of international football, even coming off the back of a heavy season. But there's so many unknowns. How's an international tournament even going to play out, having had a season like we've had, having had all of the restrictions? It's the whole tournament for me is a big question mark right now. I don't really want to make any predictions. I'd just be plucking it out of thin air. But I'm relatively optimistic. If you're making me say something, I guess I'll say, yeah, I reckon they could go on a run to the semis. But yeah, I mean, they could win it or they could go out in the groups. It's just England, isn't it? Who knows?
I think in terms of the England squad, I had a quick look at the 2018 one. I'd say this one is maybe not considerably stronger, but it's definitely stronger for me. Yeah, as you said, there's so many question marks about the tournament. We don't even know where it's going to be played right now. It could be across Europe as they planned, which I didn't like anyway, or it could be just in England that's being talked about, which would obviously give England the home advantage. Yeah, trying to predict where they're going to end up, I don't know. Semi-final sounds like a reasonable shout. I don't think they'll win it. You never know. But yeah, I'd go with semi-finals as well.
Yeah, I think your boys are probably favourites, to be honest. Portugal have such a strong squad at the moment. So as much as I don't like seeing your smug face, I think it's probably worth mentioning them as probably tournament favourites.
Yeah, I don't want to tempt fate, but that's good for me. Yeah, okay. I think that pretty much wraps it up then.
All right, cheers for that. Thanks for taking us through that. I don't know actually how many players we ended up with in terms of how many we selected. Hopefully it wasn't too many more than 23. I was trying to be as reasonable as possible. But yeah, thanks everyone for listening. It's been fun. Join us again for our next show next month. For now, we've been Clutch Football. Thanks for listening.